life, but recently the Spirit of God has just been working on his life and his heart, and it's just been exciting. And I know you kind of brought it up to me about baptism a while ago, and then it never happened. But coming to the meetings, I said, hey, you think about baptism? Oh, I don't think, no, I'm not quite ready and everything. But it was that last night of the meetings, your Spirit of God, you heard his voice. I know you did. And that's when you made a commitment to decide, I'm going for, what am I waiting for? I want to give my life completely to Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here. And subject to their baptism, how I'd like to welcome them into church membership. If you want to welcome them, just say loud amen. There's a lot of people that are supporting you, loving you. This is your church family. I see some of the family. I think they should all stand. All the family, you want to stand? Yeah, thank you for coming and supporting, and glad you're here. I know you think a lot of these too. You may be seated. I guess I'm going to start with Casey. Have you slip over there. Oh, that's right. Sorry. There is a song they would like to play as a dedication song, so let's play the song. Song. I see your son up there. Where's your daughter? Yeah, I see your son. What a great example to your kids about giving your life to Jesus. Exciting day for your family. So glad, Casey, you've made Jesus number one in your life. And it's because of that love for Christ and because you've given everything to him. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tell you, Bruce, I just love baptisms. Especially people like you, because I know both of you are going to make such a difference for God and our church and our church family. And this is just a really great day. And I just want you to imagine that God is looking down. You forgot about everybody here, just you and Christ. You're making this commitment to Him. And all of heaven's stopping. Everything's stopping just to rejoice in your decision for Him. And so, Bruce, it's because of that love of Christ, because you've given everything to Him, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'd like to pray for the baptism, not just of water, but the Spirit on your life. Heavenly Father, I just want to lay my hands on these two today, that your Spirit will just come upon them, Father, powerfully. That won't just be getting wet today, but it would actually be experiencing power of your Spirit in their life. Lord, may you fill them with gifts for your body, for this church. May you continue to use them as a light for you. So just fill them up today with your Spirit, your power, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It is a blessing, you guys, to go. It's such a blessing, and I know there's others here. When you, as you see the Spirit of God moving on their life, the Spirit of God maybe is moving on your life as well, and I know others are thinking about baptism, but don't let the opportunity pass you by. If the Spirit of God is moving your heart, make a decision. Give your life to Him, and let Him fill your life.
This journey of life is a search for truth. This journey of faith is in following you. Every step of the way, through the joy and the pain, right here in this moment, take my soul. I surrender everything to your control, and let all that is within me lift up to you and say, I am yours and yours alone, completely, right here, right now, and for the life, hear me say,
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and blessed for a world of lost
standing up here anymore. We used to being down there, but I guess I'll stand up here today. Have you ever felt in your life that there's something missing spiritually? Many thousand years ago, there was a young man that felt the same way. He felt that there was something missing in his life. So he went to Jesus and said, "Hey, I've done everything. You know, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Christ gave him an answer, which if I give today, I'll be run out of church. Something like, "Go keep the commandments." I mean, why would that save you? Why would that give you eternal life? But that's what Christ said to him. And then he said, "Oh, I've kept the commandments, all right. But there's still something missing in my life." And then Christ says something else that's incredible. He said, "If you want to be perfect, give everything you have. Give everything, sell everything, and then come follow me. Now, if you came to me today and asked how to be perfect, and I told you that, you will think I was out of my mind. But I'd like to suggest to you today that there's something special about giving everything you have. I know there are a few people here today that have the burden of having too much money and not knowing what to do with it. Not all of us. Or those who have money and the money is controlling their lives. I want to challenge you to give it to God. I thank God for this church family. If you look at our budget, we are just about even. About halfway into our budget year, we are not behind. And that's because you all have been faithful. I encourage you today to give from your heart. And for those who want spiritual challenge, to give as God persuades you spiritually. May the deacons please rise. Father in heaven, I thank you very much for being such a wonderful God and for your love for this church. I thank you very much for the new energy I feel from week to week, the new lives that are coming to you, the joy that is just present in this sanctuary. I know you've been doing wonderful things here. You have wonderful things planned for us. And I thank you very much for giving us a congregation to back your efforts on our behalf. As we collect these offerings today to go towards the church budget and the school budget, I pray that you impress the hearts that are given and let them give deeply from within their hearts to support your work. Because I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, an ever-blessed sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never
The night before Jesus was crucified, he very, very slowly made his way to Gethsemane. He was sad. He felt lonely. Even though the sky was clear and we are told that the moon was a bright yellow that night, he was very quiet. Today, some of us may be kind of sad and feeling kind of quiet. We may have just experienced the loss of a loved one, like Peter Sins last night when he was told that his sister had collapsed and couldn't be revived. Or we might be facing a really difficult situation financially, or health issues, or maybe the loss of a dream. Others of us might be full of praise I think we're really excited about the baptism today. It was so exciting. And we might feel like raising palm branches and shouting hallelujah. Whichever camp you're in, if you wish, we invite you to come now as we pray and sing this song, Holy Ground.
This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy.
As we have the privilege of talking to the King of the universe, let's either quietly kneel or reverently bow our heads. Our Father, which art in heaven, we recognize, as did Mary, when she was told that she would bear the Redeemer of the world, that you're mighty, you're holy. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom's coming. Please prepare our hearts to receive you, so we'll be ready to receive you when you come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You promised the gift of the Holy Spirit to your believers, and I ask that your Holy Spirit will guide everyone here this coming week, so we'll want to be just like you and be a blessing and serve others like Jesus did with a basin and a towel. Please bless the pastoral staff and their families in this church. Fill them with your anointing as they minister to us. And please bless the missionaries that work around the world to spread the gospel. And we ask that you, for your presence for soldiers from our country and other countries as they fight for freedom and peace. Give us this day our daily bread. We've each got our own personal needs. Some of us have lost the promises of a future with a special loved one. Others have lost help. Some have been betrayed by a family member, just like Jesus was when Judas sold him for 30 coins. You, God, is a great provider of spiritual and physical needs. Please bless, heal, and restore us physically and spiritually. We pray for a special blessing for our visitors. Please bless them and the churches where they come from. Now we ask that you will forgive us for our sins, because we want you to forgive us. Your son was cruelly killed on a rugged cross for humanity, by humanity. Help us to be able to say what he did, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And all of us are tempted 100 times a day. Like Jesus in the wilderness, help us to cling to your word so that when those temptations come, we'll stand like he did. In Isaiah 41, you said, "Fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I'll strengthen you, I'll uphold you." So we ask that you'll hold us with your right hand as evil surrounds us and invades our lives. And thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Jesus rested on Sabbath and then rose victorious. O death, where's your sting? O grave, where's your victory? We pray that each of us will believe in that gift of salvation so we can shout at Jesus' second coming, "Behold, this is our God. We've waited for him, and he has saved us. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing love." Amen.
Pastor Brent is thinking it's time for him to preach, and what am I doing up here? I don't think so. I think I'm going to preach a sermon today. How do you feel about that? Anyway, we're really glad it's Sabbath, and we can get together as a family. I see so many beautiful faces here. I haven't seen in a while. But it's a special day today. Guess who turned 58 years old April 1st? All right, Pastor Rick. Pastor Rick is 58. April 1st. But we even have another birthday that's very special, the 50th birthday. And that's, who knows, just turning 50, Pastor Brissette. We're very glad that you're with us on your 50th birthday and you decided to spend it with us here at church. We really appreciate you, Brent. And we thank God for bringing you to us, you and Stephanie. Yeah. Shall we sing happy birthday to the pastor? Yeah? Okay. Let's go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear president. Happy birthday to you.
We have a birthday card from the church. I know you all signed it, and we're going to present it to Pastor Brent. Pastor, it's your birthday card.
Thank you. Birthday.
And God bless you.
Thank you. Just want you to know I'm still in my 40s. Till tomorrow. Anyway. Man. Where does time go? Man, it's amazing. Before I get into my message, there's a white sheet of paper in your bulletin. We have a church, we have some people in our family, they're in a crisis in our church family. I called them, they said I could talk about this, and that's the Rios family. George is being detained. They want to ship him back to his home country. He's been here 19 years. And everybody knows George Rios. He sings up here, he's part of us, their family is here. They would like to, people that know him, don't be writing stuff if you don't know him, but if you know him and you're friends with him and you see what a benefit he is to our community, our church family, and so on, I want you to write a little note today. I know if you put it off, you might not do it. We want to actually petition the judge that way, so I'm going to write one, of course, and anybody would like to write for George and his family, that's what that's for, and we're going to leave that, don't forget, but we'll leave it on the table out there. It's just, you know, it's a big deal. And I just want us to really be praying for them, that God will work, that his will is done, not man's will is done, okay? So be thinking about that. I tell you, this weekend keeps getting better and better. I mean, we had an agape communion, which was just amazing last night. If some of you are missing agape communions, you're missing a lot. It's just a powerful moment to recommit your life to Jesus. And it was just great. We had about 120 people there last night, and it was just full. And next communion, I'm going to get you a preparation. It's going to be actually, we're going to try to go to Lake, we're going to do communion out at the Lodi Lake. And we're going to try to do that, and we'll see what happens, see if I can get that, reserve that. But we're going to have a communion. Hope you'll come. And it's just opportunity to do it in a little different ways, because I think there's a blessing in it. So it's been a good weekend. And the baptism today, praise God for Bruce and Casey, their decision for Jesus. Man, it's great. Great to be part of the family of God. I see God working. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's good to be here today. And it's good to know that you're here with us, blessing us with your presence. Lord, as I talk about this message, I'm asking you to make it real to each one of our hearts today. We want to listen to your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. It's Easter weekend. My wife was asking the kids what they like the most about Easter. Guess what they like most about Easter? Easter eggs, bunny rabbits, chocolate chickies. No. I hope we recognize that Easter is not really the date for the resurrection of Jesus. But it's a good time to remember. It's a good time to reflect, to look back, and celebrate Jesus' death, burial, and most of all, his resurrection. It's a good time to remember that we serve a living, risen Savior, that there's not a tomb over there. He's not in a tomb someplace, that the tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away. And our God that we serve is alive. Amen? I want to raise a question today. Does God still move stones? Does God still do powerful miracles in our lives? Does God still do the impossible sometimes? I picked up that book. It's an older book now. I've read it a long time ago, and it's from Max Lucado. It's the book, He Still Moves Stones. The subtitle is Everybody Needs or Everyone Needs a Miracle. Now, I haven't read it in probably 15 years, but I started to read it again, and I was inspired again, that the God that spoke back then still speaks today. The God that worked then, the God that forgave back then still forgives. He still works today. The personal God there is personal now. Our God is a God that can change everything. And the God, he can come into our lives. And the things that we can't move, the stones in our life that we can't move, he can budge, he can move for us. Are there stones in your life? Are the hard things that you're going through, difficult things that you're encountering in your life that you can't move? You're in a dark time in your life. You're like in this tomb of darkness. The stone is rolled in the mouth of the tomb of your life, and you can't see the light, and you can't get out. Well, I want you to know there is a God that still moves stones. And God wants to do a miracle in your life. If your life is dark right now, God wants to do a miracle for you. God wants to do the impossible for you. Jeff, he was distraught. His life was just empty. He was just satisfied. Now, he was a Christian. You'd never know it. You'd look at Jeff and his family, and you'd never guess that he was a failure. Lived in a big, beautiful house. They had a country estate. Both him and his wife, they were college graduates. He had a good job. He was also a Christian. Him and his family, they'd go to church every week. He was there part of the leadership of the church. So you'd never guess from outside that there was a problem. You'd never know that their family was falling apart. The things in their life were out of control. The debts were mounting faster than the income. And they had accumulated on credit card $160,000 in consumer debt. And so the extra shifts he was taking at work, you can imagine how it's affecting the family. And so they were beginning to argue and fight, and pretty soon they're screaming, and there's weeks of these terrible arguments screaming at each other. And so things were out of hand. And yet they were Christians, going to church every week. At last, Jeff felt estranged from his wife. His wife didn't want anything to do with him. The relationship was crumbling, falling apart. The kids didn't want to be around the angry father either. Life was really dark for Jeff. And Jeff said to himself one day, if this is all there is to life, if this is all there is to religion and Christianity, then I'm going to kill myself. I can't stand the hurt any longer. So loading his 99-millimeter handgun with hollow point bullets, the most destructive shells he owned, he placed the gun in his pocket and prepared to go and find a secluded place on his property to end it all. So one day he comes to his wife. He says, hey, honey, could you just keep the kids inside for a while? He didn't want the kids to hear the noise and come running. And so he had the gun. He was concealing the gun. The wife didn't know. He walks out. As he walks out of the house, down the steps, there is a little 4-year-old boy riding his little pint-sized bike. And the little boy is singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The man continues on, passes his son, goes in the back part of his property to a knoll. And he's planning to take his life. He pulls out the gun. The final moments, he thought of his son. what would happen to my child if I kill myself? And that all rushed over him. He began to cry. He began to weep. He put the gun back in his pocket. He couldn't stand the thought of what would happen when his boy found out what his dad did. He couldn't stand that thought. And so he put the gun back in his pocket, and he headed back to the house. Later, he says, I was so depressed. I've never been that depressed before in my life. I couldn't make Christianity work, and I knew it should. I was a failure as a Christian, a failure as a husband, a failure as a dad, a failure in finances, and now I couldn't even succeed in killing myself. But Jeff, sometime later, ended up in some revival meetings, hearing a preacher talk about the story of Jesus, a story that he had heard from when he was a boy. But this time, the story was different. He heard it different this time. He began to realize how much Jesus loved him, that the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection could be his. And so the story was different this time. And in those revival meetings, he surrenders his life completely to Jesus Christ. And his life instantly began to change. And I'm going to tell you, it didn't happen overnight for him. I mean, there was struggle between him and his wife. There was hard things to go through. They had all this debt. But in a half a year, half of the debt was gone. God began to work miracles for them. They began to come together. Husband and wife began to come back together again. He began to be radically changed. He began to understand the spiritual disciplines of what it means to really be a Christian, spending time in the Word of God, spending time on his knees, praying. Things begin to change for him, and he began to experience the living, the resurrected Christ in his life, and everything changed for him. God was working a miracle, and I believe that's that God that worked a miracle in Jeff's life wants to work a miracle in your life. And if you are in a dark time in your life and the stone is rolled up there and you can't see any way to deal with the stones in your life, I'm going to tell you, God can move that stone. He can work a miracle for you. See, I don't want this story, this resurrection story, just to be another time, oh, I've heard this 100 times before. I've been praying since early this morning when I got up. I've been praying for you that you will experience the resurrected living Christ today. That it's not just a story on a page. It's not an old story 2,000 years ago. But it is about a living Christ that's living today. And he wants to come into your life. And he wants you to experience the living, resurrected power of Jesus. And he wants to move the stones in your life. And so it's early Sunday morning. Christ is still in the tomb. The great stone is still in its place. It's early Sunday morning, and it's still dark. And in John chapter 20, it talks about Mary coming to the tomb while it's still dark. But it wasn't just dark outside, it was dark on the inside. It had been dark since Friday. It was dark with Peter's denial and Judas' betrayal. It was dark with Jesus' anguish and suffering. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Matthew 28. 28 verse 1. It says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Now these two Marys, they were the Marys, two of the women we find in Matthew 27. They were actually there at the cross. They were standing at a distance. They watched the whole thing. They watched how Christ suffered. They had seen how he went through that anguish and that pain. They saw the nails driven through his hands and his feet. They heard the final, out of the words, his final breath, it is finished. They saw him being taken off the cross. They saw his body being taken and put in a tomb. They saw it all. See, these women are disciples of Jesus. And they had staked everything on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That he truly is the Messiah. And so they're the last one to leave Calvary. They're disciples of Jesus. And they're the first one at the tomb. Their hearts have been broken. They have watched their Savior, the one they love so much, give up his life and die. All hope is gone. All their dreams have evaporated. The future looks bleak. And so these women come in darkness to the tomb, overwhelmed with grief. They come in disappointment, in depression. But on that dark morning, God was ready to do a miracle. And if you are in darkness in your life, God wants to do a miracle in your life. He wants to do something. He wants to do the impossible, the unexpected. See, I think there's time in all our lives when we experience the dark times of our life. Amen? And the large stones come against the tomb of our lives, and we can't get out, and we can't see the light, and we have no solution for our problems in our life. But I'm going to tell you, God does. Now, I used to build hiking trails in the mountains. I did it on and off for 7 years. I've told you that. But I was down in the Guadalupe Mountains of Texas. Anybody that's been in the Guadalupe Mountains of Texas? How many has been to Carlsbad Cabin? Well, that's the highest mountains in Texas. The tallest one is 8,700 feet. I worked on those mountains for actually a couple years of my life. And we were working on the backside of the Guadalupe Mountains. They're the kind of desert mountains. They have cactus and a lot of that. There is some trees in the backside. But we were working about 3,000 feet up of this off the floor. And as we were building trail, as we were coming, there's brand new trail we're putting in. And there's all these incredible rock croppings everywhere. I mean, just big boulders and stuff. And we look ahead as we come around this bend, and here is this huge boulder. It's like almost perfectly round. And that thing is teetering on the top of this ridge. It's been sitting there since the flood, man. And it's sitting there, and I bet you that thing's 10 feet across. I mean, it's a huge thing. And we get over there, and we all look at this. Now, this is back in the days before Christ. I didn't care about the environment, so don't hold this against me, okay? But we get up there, and there's maybe 10. I can't remember the number. There's 10, 12 of us or whatever. We decided we're going to try to push this rock off the top. And it just looked like it was just barely sitting there, man. I mean, this big old heavy rock. I don't know how many thousands of pounds this thing weighed. And all of us, all 10, we were just straining, trying to push this rock. And we couldn't get it to move. And it looked like it was just teetering. And you got to realize, this thing was sitting like, and it just went down like that, 3,000 feet, man. There was nothing below it. There was no danger or anything like that. There's no trails, nothing below us. But finally, we got the idea, and we had two bars, and we got out these bars. And we begin to pry the rock, and we begin to put in tiny little rocks. So we're straining all we were, and we're putting it in, and it took us like an hour. And finally, that thing went. And I'm going to tell you, it's the most awesome thing I think I've ever seen in my life. I mean, we're watching this thing, and this rock, I mean, think about it. It's probably 4 feet taller than me, perfectly round. And it was going down this mountain, and it began to bounce. And this rock, I'm sure, was bouncing 40, 50 feet in the air, thousands of pounds. And it was going down, and it got to the bottom. There was old trees and trees, and I mean, it mowed over the trees like they weren't even there. I mean, trees this big around, wham, just gone. And we watched this scene, this powerful day. I mean, it was an amazing day to see that stone move. But see, I found something in life, that I have stones in my life that I can't move no matter how hard I try. See, that day we had enough guys, the right beef, and the right equipment, and we got that rock off that mountain, and it moved. But most of the times, we deal with things in our life, rocks in our life, that we cannot move. No matter what we do, no matter the resources we have, they will not move. But God wants to move the stones in our life. And He can move them. He can do what we can't do. What stone needs to be rolled away in your life? Is there a problem in relationship? Is there a marriage problem? Is your marriage failing? Is there finances? I mean, how many people, even right here today, are dealing with problems in their finances? God can move the stone. He can do what you can't do. It doesn't look like you can find work and a job. God can provide the job. He can provide the work. He can move the stone. Whatever the difficulty you're facing in your life, God can do the impossible because He is the resurrected Christ. He is alive. The tomb is empty. And that God of the empty tomb, of the resurrected, wants to come. That God, that living God, wants to come and deal with your stones that you can't move. And so the resurrection gives us hope and light, gives us encouragement when everything looks bleak and dark in our life. And when you find yourself in the midst of day one or day two, just know that there is a third day coming, that there is a resurrection, that there is victory, that the stone can move away. It happens on the third day. You hang on and you believe the stone can move. And you trust in God that He is alive. See that moment, those women, they're coming to the tomb. They don't know Jesus Christ has been resurrected. They don't know. They haven't heard the news. They haven't seen the tomb. They haven't seen the empty tomb. They are going, these two Marys are going to the tomb. And they think they're going to encounter, all they're going to encounter is a dead corpse. And they're not hoping the tomb, they're not hoping the tomb is empty. They're just going as a duty. But they don't know that the grave has been vacated, that Christ is alive. See, their dreams had died when Jesus died. The feet that walked on water have been pierced. The hands that have healed the lepers and raised the dead and opened blind eyes have been stilled. The last time they saw Jesus, His body was broken and bloody, bleeding and bruised. He was nailed to the cross. Blood was running down His face, a crown of thorns on His head. The last time they saw Him, Jesus was dead. The pulse was gone. His heart had stopped. The last time they saw His body being taken off the cross, they saw Him go into the tomb. He is dead. They are not going to celebrate the resurrection because they don't believe He's alive. They are going to embalm His body. They are going to do a duty that needs to be done. They are going to bid farewell to this one they love so much that they put all their hopes in. And so they come to the grave. They come to that tomb discouraged, and their hearts are filled with pain and sorrow. And so it's not hope that leads those women to the tomb. It's duty. It's devotion. It's service. It's hearts of service. They're not expecting anything in return. What could Jesus give them? What could a dead man give them? Those two women are climbing up a mountain to receive, not to receive, I should say. They are going to give. It's a powerful story of service. See, the first thing I see in this story, if you got something terrible in your life, some stone in your life that you can't move and you can't solve, some difficulty you can't. The first thing I found in my life is when you serve somebody else, when you reach out and help somebody else, it helps you. I mean, one of the best things you can do, and you are in some heaviness in your life right now, is go serve somebody and you will watch the burdens begin to roll away. I don't fully understand it, but I know it's true. There are times when we are called to love people, to love expecting nothing in return. There are times that we give money and knowing people will never say thank you. There are times when we are to forgive, when we know they're not going to forgive us back. This time, there is times when we have to come early and stay late when no one else seems to notice. By the way, I could name a lot of people that come early and stay late in this church. See, it was service prompted by love, by duty. These women, there was a duty that needed to be done. The body had not been embalmed yet. There wasn't enough time to take it off the cross and embalm them. There was a process. There was a lot of work. It took time. And so these women recognized it had to be done. And they knew Peter wasn't going to do it, and John's not going to do it. The disciples aren't going to do it. So they say, we got to do it. They got a heart of service. I tell you, it's wonderful being around people that have a heart of service. People that are always concerned about other people, concerned about other people's needs, not always thinking about their own, not always consumed in their own problems. They're thinking about other people. And I can name a lot of names around here of people that are just like that in our church, and I love that. I tell you, I've just been overwhelmed with all the people coming out to give a helping hand in my house. And I just got to say, this is real to me, okay? I mean, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that come out there, and you guys know who you are, but you have been such a blessing to me. Thank you for serving and giving to help us out. There's a blessing. There's something that happens when you give to other people. When you share, it helps you with your own problems. It gives you perspective. Look at Matthew 28, verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I love that. This stone probably, they estimate, weighed 2,000 pounds. It would take 10 men straining to get this stone, and it would rest in a low spot to get it out and move the stone. And here comes one little old angel and moves it around and then sits down on the thing. Do you like that picture? I love that picture. It's a good picture. Everything that's hard for us is easy for God. What is hard for you is easy for God. What seems impossible for you is possible with God. As I think of the surprise of those Marys that came to the tomb, the stone had been rolled away. I kind of imagine before they go, the disciples saying, hey, why are you going to the tomb? Who's going to roll away that stone for you? Who's going to do it? It's too heavy for you. Who's going to do it? But these women step out in faith, and they go to the tomb. Folks, it's amazing when you step out in faith, God gives the unexpected. He brings blessing when you step out in faith for Him. When you trust God, when there's something that needs to be done, and you step out in faith and you do it, no thought of reward, you just do it. And when you step out in faith, God brings blessing, and He does the unexpected. You know, I mentioned this man by the name of Angus Buckham in South America, who decides in a drought in South America to plant potatoes. Remember that Faith Like Potatoes? How many have seen that movie, by the way, by now? Isn't it a powerful story? I mean, in a drought, see, potatoes take the most water. That crop takes the most water. And so Angus Buckett says, I'm going to plant some potatoes. And he's out there in a dust bowl, and they got the tractors working, and they're dropping these potatoes in dust. I love that picture. It's amazing. And by the way, as you read later, I mean, as you hear the trailers, they actually went to the neighbor and leased property because they weren't going to plant potatoes. They weren't going to be a fool, but they leased their land too, and so they planted potatoes there too. And you could look at the field, and there was no evidence there was any growth. Nothing. There was no blooming. There's no green leaves. Nothing. But then finally came time, they're out there, and the picture, him and his friend, and they're out there, and they put the shovels down in, they pull it up, and here's these huge potatoes. God rewards faith. He rewards service, and He rewards faith. And we as the people of God need to be about faith, not what we can see, but what God can do. God still moves stones. He is the resurrected Christ. Look at Matthew 28, 6. He is not here, for He is risen. And as He said, come, see a place where the Lord lay. Jesus is not just a good man. He's not just a moral philosopher. He is the living Christ. He is not a political leader that's died and his body has decayed. He is alive, and He lives for you and for me. Praise God. And because He is alive, He is the God of the unexpected. Mary, He is not here. He is risen. The tomb is empty. It's been rolled away. See, God rolled away the stone that day. And that same God that rolled away the stone then can roll away the stone today. He can empower you. He can remove those stones in your life. Folks, how do you deal with tough times in your life? Number one, you find ways to serve other people. You find ways to give to other people. Number two, you try to focus on Jesus rather than your problem. It is so easy to get caught up looking at the stone, looking at the problem, and taking our eyes off of Christ and losing focus on Christ. Don't focus on your failing marriage. Focus on Jesus. Don't focus on your finances. Focus on Jesus. Don't focus on your health. Focus on Jesus. Don't focus on the problem. Stop it. Why do I always do that? Sorry, I'm talking to myself. But we got to stop focusing on those things and focus on Christ. He's the solution. He's the answer. And He can do what you can't do. Do we really trust Him or do we talk about it? Can we lay everything on the line for God? I was talking to a young man just a week ago. And this young man comes and he has no direction in his life. He's considering about giving his life fully to Christ. And he doesn't want to know. He wants to get married. He's getting up there a little bit in years. And so where do I go? What do I do? And he wants me to pray for direction and so on. And I said, what you need is to seek Jesus. Stop seeking your will. Stop finding ways for a path for you. Just seek God. Just seek Him. As I tell you, when I sought God, when I came to Christ, He worked out everything in my life because I put Him first. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll take care of everything else. And I know it's true. Do you? You seek Him first. I had a Bible worker, and this guy was working. He was this young guy. He was good looking, and he came and he worked with me for a year and a half. Love this guy. But I noticed about something about him. He was totally committed to Jesus. I mean, these beautiful women would walk by, and it's like he didn't even notice they were there. Every lady in the church was trying to set him up with their daughter, that kind of guy. And he didn't even care. All he cared about was seeking a relationship and knowing Christ. He left, and 3 years later, I met him. Just happened to see him at general conference. And I saw him, and we hugged each other. And then I heard, you know, we kind of lost track of each other. And the Lord brought a beautiful wife to his life. He had two beautiful children. He was a pastor. It was amazing. When you surrender, when you seek God first, He'll take care of the problems. We always try to solve the problem. Seek Him. Forget about it. Seek God first. You know that verse of Scripture there in Jeremiah 29? For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We always use that verse. As God has a plan for your life, we use it with young people all the time. God has a purpose. He's got a plan for your life. And we miss the two verses later is the condition where it says, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with how much of your heart? Part of your heart. Little bit of your heart. All your heart. Seek God first, and He'll take care of everything in your life. Seek Him first, and the stone will roll away. Focus on Jesus. Don't focus on the problem. Man can't understand the resurrection. The medical science out there, we can't understand it. They can't prove it. The most brilliant minds can't figure it out. But Jesus Christ was resurrected, and Jesus will do the impossible for you. The Bible says, don't be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Seek Jesus. Seek Him and the stone will roll away in your life. How do we deal with problems in our life? We serve and we help others. We focus on Jesus instead of the difficulty. I found out my God can handle my little problems. He's big enough. I don't have to be afraid. Because my God has conquered the grave. How do you deal with problems? You serve and help other people. Get your focus off yourself. Focus on Jesus, not on the difficulty. Number three, tell somebody about the friend you have in Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. When you are telling somebody about your friend in Jesus, there is power and the Holy Spirit shows up. When you open your mouth in faith and tell somebody about Christ, what He means to you, there is power. And all of a sudden, the problems you encounter doesn't mean hardly anything anymore. You know, when I went to the seminary, we call it the cemetery. I said that to the group this morning. But it's amazing, you know, that place would just zap the spiritual strength right out of you. I mean, think about it. You're studying the Word and about God, and I tell you, it would just take, why? Because everybody knows everything. You know, they're all a bunch of scholars and, you know, oh, I know more than you, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, I got a job window washing just to survive, man, not financially. But I would go around and I would use my job every day. I'd go around driving around and I'd wash windows of dealerships, car dealerships and all this. And it was just amazing. I mean, these people would follow me around. They'd ask me questions about Christ. And I'd build these relationships over a couple years, the seminary. That's how I survived. You tell people about Christ and it helps you in your own problem. I got to tell you about George Rios, because he is being detained right now in Yuba City. You're going to pray for him. I was talking about Naomi, and I asked her if I could bring it up today, and she said I could. But Naomi's telling me, Pastor, I got to tell you before you get off the phone, George is up there, and he's saying, you know, I'm supposed to be here because he is just constantly sharing the Word of God and giving Bible studies to everybody. He says, everybody up here needs Jesus. They're all hungry for Jesus. That's one of ours. And I'll guarantee you, as he's sharing Jesus Christ, that problem that he's in will go away. God will solve the difficulty. He will take care of the problems. Number four, deal with the problems in your life in worship and praise. Matthew 28, verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by his feet, and they worship him. When I'm discouraged, when I'm depressed, what do I need to do? I need to praise and worship God. And so I get out the book of Psalms, and I apply it to my life. I claim promises. I study the book of Revelation. You say, Revelation? Yeah, because it's a book of praise and worship. I sing praises to God. That's how I get through the difficulties. That's how God moves the stones in my life. I sing, I praise, and worship him. And number five, I deal with the difficulties in my life by hanging on to Jesus. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by his feet, and they worshiped him. They clung to him. They clung to Jesus. They hung on to Christ. Sometimes we need a physical demonstration, don't we? Sometimes we need a visible demonstration of God, and God will bring that visible demonstration. But until he does, we hang on. We hang on to the promise of God. We hang on that he is living. He's the resurrected Christ, and he can solve your problems. Don't quit. Don't give up. The check may be in the mail. The apology may come. The job contract may be on the desk, ready to be signed. Don't give up. Keep praying. Seek God. Hang on. Cling to him in your difficulty. The tomb is empty. Our Savior's alive. The stone has been rolled away. And our God hasn't changed. And our God can solve the impossible in your life. A story of Kay Arthur. Some of you know Kay Arthur as a writer, a lecturer. She has books. She's a committed Christian, but she was not always a committed Christian. Many years ago in her 20s, she was as far away from God as you can possibly get. Her husband was manic depressive, and she got tired of living with him. She had an affair with a man. And when her husband found out about it, he got so depressed, he says, I'm gonna kill myself. And so he threatened suicide. And when he threatened suicide, she was so crass, so uncaring, that she told him, go ahead and kill yourself. And sure enough, he went, he found a place, and he hung himself. Kay Arthur said that as she drove away from the cemetery that day, she felt like such a failure as a wife, a mother, as a person. And she felt this anger and frustration and pain. And as she drove away, she shook her fist at the sky and screamed, "Go to hell, God. To hell with you, God." And she says, what I didn't know till later, was exactly what he did for me. He gave his life. He went to the very gates of hell, and he did it for me. And that woman found grace. Her stone was rolled away. You know, we're going to sing that song again, "Because He Lives." We can face tomorrow. Why don't we just do one verse? It's going a little bit late. But it's page 526. "Because He Lives." I want you to stand with me as we sing the song, "Because He Lives." We're going to have the praise team come up.
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior. I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because.
Thank you for the incredible story of Jesus, that He would come down here, die on a cross, and be buried. But thank you for the story, the good news, that Jesus is alive, that He has been resurrected, and that we serve a living, risen Savior. And today, God, I pray that You would just, if there's anything in our lives that are just hard right now, any stones that we just can't seem to budge, Lord, may You come again. May You come and do a miracle and do the impossible and move the stone. Lord, we just want to tell You we trust You. No matter what we see, what we feel, what it looks like, we just want to tell You we trust You. And we just want to give our lives to You, the risen Christ, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you leave, I was told that these lilies, that you can take one today, but the only stipulation is you have to give it away. Okay, so if you have somebody in your heart you'd like to give it to and bless today, you can do that. I have dibs on one. So anyway, have a wonderful Easter weekend, wonderful Sabbath afternoon. God bless you. See you next Sabbath.